Wait, Mark, come and preach for us. That means I'm sharp as weeds. All right. Well, I want to thank Brother Jack and Nancy and the whole crew for having the 16th annual Gunnersville Conference. Hopefully there will not be a 17th. It'll be canceled by the rapture. So, we've been talking about the weather. Sorry. They actually want to record this. I don't know why. And you know, there aren't many of you that live further south than those of us in Louisiana. We've had 3 snowfalls. I think just this year, I think we had one prior to Christmas. And so it's been cold. I mean, colder than we normally used to. And so I, you know, most of you that I know and I talk with north of us had it really tough too. And my question is this: are you ready for warm weather? Are you ready for warm weather?
Yeah.
Good, because it helped me segue into my next announcement. And that is, we're going to give you some warm weather in June. In June 4th, 5th, and 6th, down in Baton Rouge, we're having our Bible conference down there. And we'd like to invite everyone to come down and be a part of it. We will have some good food. Don't ask questions, just eat it. And if you get sick, there's hands to be laid upon you. It's at the hospital, but it's hands. But anyhow, that's June 4th, 5th, and 6th. I do have a bunch of flyers on the table over here. We are once again going to use the Holiday Inn that we used last year and the year before. They have remodeled the rooms and stuff, so they fixed all that up. And so it's ready to go. So we look forward to having all of you folks come on down and be a part of that. And if you do, I don't want to hear anything about how hot it is. So, anyhow. I don't know, most of you probably haven't heard, some of you probably have. There's a fellow from New Orleans that did like so many others, took the King James Bible and rewrote it. And I thought, come on, don't we have enough of that already, NIV and all that stuff? And so I picked it up and was going through it, and I found some interesting changes that they made in it. And so I didn't bring that other version up here. I just wrote down a few verses here. And if you'd like to compare it and see how off it is from the King James, this fellow in New Orleans, he kind of missed it pretty big. Look in your Bible. Look in Genesis. I want to read chapter 21, and what we're going to do is just start in 21 and then go into 22 and look at the difference the way he wrote this. In Genesis 21 verse 33, and Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. Then he goes into chapter 22, verse 1, and he says, let's see if I can read this right. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham? And Abraham said, Who dat? I know, I'm like, Man, you can't keep them down, can you? But anyhow, look, we were hammered by Katrina, and as low that was for our state, this was a bit of a high for us, okay? People say, well, what's the best thing that comes out of Louisiana? I-10. No, all my folks are getting upset with me, my locals. Now, I want to thank all of them. They came up here. This is pretty much, our entire church here, if you want to know the truth. So anyhow, we have the Mennonites here. We have the Cajunites. We're going tribal! So come on down to Baton Rouge, June 4th, 5th, and 6th, and enjoy our conference. Great food, fellowship, and best of all, we got some great preaching. And so be a part of that and get your notices in and just make plans to come on down. Real quick, we did have it Memorial Day weekend for the past few years. There's a major concert taking place down there, a country concert. All the who's who's of country music, seriously, are going to be there. And we just didn't want to fight the crowds and the hotel space and all that stuff. And then we incurred a lot of folks from out of town and even our locals that had kids that were graduating or in school, end of the year functions and things. So we said, let's just move it back. And so that's what we did. We went into the first full weekend of June. So that's why the transition is taking place like that. So make plans to come on down and be a part of that. So anyhow, once again, I'm thankful that Jack gave me the opportunity here to preach. I see him looking at his watch like, man, when are you going to get started? Hey, I do this quick, all right? I am the dominoes of preachers here. Pepperoni. You know, we have heard some really good preaching. I appreciate Robbie's intro message. It really sort of set the tone in the sense of setting things in order and dividing things out. You know, I was very fortunate in my life that when I got saved, Brother Obed had the Grace Church going there, and so I went there, I heard the gospel, got saved. And I'm not saying that only in the Grace Church you can get saved, but it's hard to do outside of the Grace Church, so I'll put it like that. But I also had the privilege of being shown the Word of God rightly divided and being taught that. And so, consequently, these things are very important. And it's sort of the fundamental base on which we build upon concerning preaching and teaching and leading people to the Lord and things of that nature. In order to do that, sometimes you have to lay out a little bit to lead up to that point. And I'm going to try and do that. Now, put the word try in. Sean talked about the importance of the English language. Try is very important with me. So, in Matthew chapter 4, you know, there's a lot of prophecies that went forth, as Steve was saying, that were set up by the prophets. And consequently, two of the main themes of the prophets were a coming king and the kingdom. And so Jesus Christ, being that king, came forth and proclaimed the kingdom. Matter of fact, in Matthew 4, verse 23, it says, "And when Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom," it says, "and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." So here's the Lord. He's come in. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So on the board here, we're just going to take this X representing the beginning of Christ's ministry to the cross. Well, in that time, God gave forth His Son to bring in the kingdom as the king of that kingdom. And He was sent to Israel. Now, I'm not going to have it necessarily in chronological order, but I'm going to go back to these things to fill in the blanks here. In Matthew chapter 28, turn to Matthew 28, also known as the Great Commission, which kind of diminishes our commission a little bit when you call it great. We have a fantastic commission to preach the grace of God to the lost world. But in Matthew 28, verse 16, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so there's their commission, and they're to go out and teach. So they're to be teachers. And then he commands them to go into all the world, teach those nations, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So then the ministry of Jesus Christ was raising up men and teaching those men during his earthly ministry here. Well, the forefront speaker of those men is Peter. And, you know, you've got to consider these men that God raised up to preach. Think about them. Matter of fact, put in context with that, look over in Acts chapter 4. In Acts 4, verse 13, in Acts 4:13 says, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, watch this, and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So, I mean, the Lord wasn't raising up the brightest bulbs on the tree. I mean, they were ignorant and unlearned men. And so he raised them up, he taught them, he instructed them during their ministry here on the earth, his ministry here on the earth. Now I'm going to just grab out of all that he taught, one thing that he taught to carry on to our present time today. Look back in Matthew and look at Matthew chapter 12. And Matthew chapter 12 is a very important chapter. In Matthew chapter 12, look in verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every house or every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, and except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And so here Jesus Christ has someone brought to him, possessed of the devil, blind and dumb. And he cast out the devil, he healed that individual, and what thanks did he get in reply to that? Well, you're doing this by the devil. In other words, they're calling him a devil. And you know, the Lord said, No, I do this by the Spirit of God. He said, But how do your children cast the devils out? Good question. And he says in verse 26, And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Did you know the devil has a kingdom today? I heard someone mention that they're preaching out there to bring in the kingdom. Well, the message he's bringing, he's done his job. The kingdom's here. It's a kingdom of the devil. That's why we have the problems we have today in our society and in our world. John talked about the wars that go on. There's a reason for that. There's a God of this world that has divided the nations and caused things contrary one to the other. And Jesus Christ came to establish the kingdom, to bring peace to this earth. But what did they do? They told him, You're the devil. They identified him as the devil. They rejected him. So Jesus Christ makes this point, and it's very important in verse 31. He says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Well, then I see two different types of blasphemy that take place there. Blasphemy against the Son and blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus Christ said, the blasphemy against the Son, it shall be forgiven him. Now, what exactly is blasphemy? I find out that there's many people that don't understand it. I was talking to a preacher a number of years back, and he was saying, "Well, what church do you go to?" I'm like, "That's way back, Berean Bible Fellowship." He said, "Well, what kind of church is that?" I said, "Well, it's a grace church." "Oh, what do y'all believe?" I said, "Well, we believe that Christ died for all our sins, was buried and raised again, and that's how you get to heaven." "Oh, you're Jehovah's Witness." I'm like, "Did you hear me?" I said, "No, we believe that Christ..." And so he then went, "Oh, you're Baptist." And, you know, no, we believe in the grace of God that's able to save all men. That Christ loved us, gave himself for us, died for us, was buried, but God raised him from the dead. So he went into another conversation. And he was telling me about the meeting they had with him and the deacons and elders, and he said, he got so heated, they were cussing. He said, "You should have heard the blasphemy." Well, folks, let me tell you something here. The Lord is not, in these verses, 31 and 32, he's not talking about cussing. He's talking about rejecting, speaking against, vilifying, thrusting from you. Blasphemy, that's what it is. And that's what they did to the Son. They rejected him. They spoke evil of him. And when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And you know what the Father did? He forgave them. If you blaspheme the Son, it shall be forgiven you. But you know, Jesus Christ made a promise to the disciples there. Look over in John and look at the promise he made to them. Look in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, Jesus is telling them, "And I'll pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Well, who's the comforter? Go down to verse 26. "But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." Who's the comforter? The Holy Ghost. "Whom the Father will send in my name." Watch what he will do. "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." In other words, these were ignorant and unlearned men that the Lord was teaching here. And so consequently, they rejected the Son, they blasphemed the Son, and God forgave that nation. And so after the burial, the resurrection, Jesus Christ met with them and then ascended up. After he ascended up, the Holy Ghost came down. And the Holy Ghost, through Peter and the apostles, began the ministry once again concerning the kingdom. Now everything that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost came and filled those men, everything that Peter preached was based upon the Holy Ghost giving him the understanding to preach it. It wasn't like me and the rest of the preachers that hold a Bible up here and say, "Would you please turn to chapter such and such and read it?" Peter got up there and boom, off he went. An ignorant and unlearned man. How could he do it? The power of the Holy Ghost. Preachers today talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. Man, they can't only speak about the Word of God, let alone know it. The Holy Ghost gives you that ability to preach it without studying it. Paul said we have to study. Not just study, but rightly divide it. These men didn't know anything about studying it and rightly divide it. They just were sent forth to preach. And Christ promised them the Holy Ghost to bring all things that He taught them into their remembrance, and then would show them other things as they carried on and have them speak it. Oh, that's sweet. I wish we could act that. I'd be like, hey, could you turn your book to close? If I don't need it, I can just go with it. But it doesn't quite work that way today. But Peter and those apostles had the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, with that said, there's something that really is impressive in the Bible. I mean, when you think about what transpires here, from the Son being given to being rejected, and now the Holy Ghost is running the show through these men. Galatians chapter 1. This is Paul kind of giving an account of his life before he ever got saved. And so we're going to go to a point where he is already saved in his account here. And look what it says in verse 18. Galatians 1:18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. You know, the one that was empowered with the Holy Ghost, right? And abode with him 15 days. So they had a Bible conference. Stayed there 15 days. You think you could survive 15 days, Jack? After Sunday, he's like, please leave. And it's interesting to know, 3 years after Paul was saved, he goes and meets with Peter. Then in chapter 2, verse 1, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. So we just want to hold up there and go down further. And I want to show you some interesting stuff here. Verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now watch verse 9. It's very important. And when James, Cephas, who is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, watch, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. In other words, Paul the Apostle, Acts chapter 9, gets saved. 3 years later, he goes and he meets with Peter, the one that has the Holy Ghost empowering him, the Comforter, to teach him all things. And what does Paul do? Paul has got to explain to the Holy Ghost-controlled Peter the gospel that he got. The gospel that Paul had. That tells me that the Holy Ghost didn't tell Peter everything.
Amen.
You understand? Paul had something that Peter knew nothing about. That's why they had the meeting. That's why Paul had to go up there and communicate it. Just think about Peter. Here he has the power of the Holy Ghost to know all these things. Don't you think his mind did not go back to Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32? He that blasphemes the Son, it shall be forgiven him. But he that blasphemes the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world or that to come. He knew that. He knew that. What was troubling for him was this man that was Saul, who is now Paul. Can you imagine Peter just scratching his head? You talking about Saul of Tarsus? You telling me how could this be? Say, well, why is that a problem? 1 Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy, chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Watch. Verse 13. Who was before a
blasphemer.
You got it, a blasphemer. And a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. He was a blasphemer. Well, he didn't blaspheme the Son. Jesus Christ is dead. He's buried. He's raised up. So the church at this time had the empowerment of the Holy Ghost working in and through them. And the number one persecutor of that church was Saul. Saul led to the murder of Stephen and others and imprisoned many more. And when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, he was on his way for more. If that man walked into this room, we'd go out the back door. This was a bad dude, you understand? He was blaspheming, speaking against, reviling against the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ said, if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven you. Therefore, for God to raise this man up, Peter couldn't figure out how he could raise up a blasphemer. This guy blasphemed the Holy Ghost. How can you raise him up? And Paul communicated unto him the gospel that Jesus Christ gave to him. You see, Paul's ministry is not instructed by the Holy Ghost. It's instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I got by revelation this gospel. I got it from the Lord Jesus Christ directly. Not the Holy Ghost, by the Lord. And so he met with Peter and had to explain his ministry to Peter. Folks, we got something brand new. You can't take Peter's doctrine, Peter's preaching, and bring it to people today and expect them to get saved.
Amen.
You heard Barry preach up here. Folks, once you're enlightened and you turn and fall away from it, there's no hope under Peter's ministry. There's nothing there. But God today, through His amazing grace, will save anybody that will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even a blasphemer like Paul. Do you realize Paul is a prototype? He's an example that if God can save him, he can save anybody.
Amen.
I've witnessed to people before and they said, oh, Mark, you just don't know what I've done. God could never forgive me for that. Not only can he forgive you, he has forgiven you. Come on now.
Amen.
People making sin out bigger than God. Are you kidding me? God can handle sin. He's dealt with it since Adam. All of a sudden, yeah, you're so big, you big sinner. God's taking care of it. He's handled it. What you need to do is be a big truster.
Amen.
Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, someone was mentioned the other day, and it's probably not new to many of you. You know, that darn internet, it gets our jokes and everything out so quick. You can't tell. You got to be snappy, you know? I mean, you got to beat that electronic system. Well, he said, you know, there are those that get baptized. And they said, you ask them, why are you getting baptized? Well, it shows my inner faith outwardly, right? And he said, no, what that does is show you inner ignorantly outwardly. But it's just interesting to know. Peter is your predominant preacher today. Oh, you robbed Peter to pay Paul. Peter's our Pope. Interesting story about that. Jack was talking about Brother Moore. And I told this story probably at the last Florida conference Brother Moore had. And some of you that were there, once I start, you go, oh, I remember that. That or you forgot it. Insane. My stepdad, his brother, is a Baptist missionary that was assigned to Italy. And there's some stories there to be told. One of them is he had never been to Rome and to the Vatican. And obviously that's a big pilgrimage area for the Catholics around the world that go there. So he decided to go on to the Vatican and go see the sights. Well, they get out there to the square And in the middle of the square, there's a large statue of Peter out there. And there are just tens of thousands of people gathered around there, and they're all trying to get to that statue of Peter. And so he's like, let me see what's going on here. So he's just milling about the bunch and gets closer. And as he gets closer, he notices that there's something going on there at the statue. So ultimately, after a long period of time, he gets to the statue or a little ways off, and he sees that everybody that goes up there is kissing and rubbing the right toe, big toe of Peter, the statue. And so he gets up there, and he finally makes it up to the pedestal that the statue is on, so the feet are right here, and there's the statue. And he looks, and he said, the big toe was whittled down to a nub from all the people doing it over all the years. Just a nub of a toe. And I thought, you know what? It's not good to follow a man with a sharp toe. You can't be saved by Peter's gospel, you understand? Don't follow Peter. You'll be in trouble. Paul is our example. God gave him to you Gentiles, and sometimes I don't think that that sinks in. I'm talking about Gentiles that are strangers from the covenants of promise. It's one thing for the Gentiles that blessed Israel, like Barry was talking about, to eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You've always had those Gentiles. They've had the blessings come off of the nation Israel. We're talking about a whole different group of Gentiles that the only thing that was placed upon them is the curse. And God takes the curse away through Jesus Christ. You can't get saved by Peter's message. It's only through Paul. It's only through his gospel. Because that is God's power unto salvation.
Amen.
You understand? The only way God can save you is by you putting your trust in what He's already done for you. He loved you. He gave Himself for you. And then God showed that that was a righteous man by raising up Jesus Christ. You know, I bet everybody in here knows that Christ died on the cross, was buried, and raised again. I don't think I'm doing any Athenian preaching here. What is this strange doctrine you're talking about? I think you all know that. Here's the problem. Have you ever trusted it? Trusted? What do you mean trusted? You know, kind of like the parachute guy that jumps out the plane. He's trusting in that helmet he wears when he jumps 5 miles up. No, I'm just joking. I'm like, why do they wear a helmet if the parachute don't work? You're splattered all over the place. No, you trust. You trust in your dire strait. Do you know the word salvation means to rescue? There are accounts of people who have been adrift in the ocean. No land in sight. No food, no water. You know what they're facing? Death. They're going to die. And lo and behold, a ship comes up. And pulls next to them. If you were in that little boat, would you want to get in the big ship to take you to shore? I'm sure you would.
I try.
You want to be saved? There's one right there. I appreciate him listening. You get in it. You know why? You'd want to be rescued. You see, you have to have a certain fear of going to hell to want to be rescued.
That's right.
Are you complacent in your religion? in your church? You got your little comfort zone? Were you going to heaven? I'm a Catholic. Well, I guess I've answered it. You're going to heaven? Well, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. It happens all the time. What are you, a new creature? You can be a new creature by trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You see the danger that you're in. You know, we talk about dying. You know, people may say, well, if I die, you're going to die. Well, Steve was talking about those that are that have been sick and needed surgery. They faced the prospect of dying at that point in time. And all said, it's well with my soul. So, I have faced those in the hospital bed that were dying. No surgery. Terminal. And when they look up at you and said, and they say, I know where I'm going when I leave here. I'm going to be with the Lord. You know there's a sweet comfort working in them. At some point in time, they knew they were going to face this time in their lives. Like Robbie was saying, there's a time to be born and a time to die. You're going to face that. Where are you going to spend your eternity? Have you trusted in the gospel that Paul preached? Because his gospel is God's power to save any and all that believe. Don't worry about the sin. God's taking care of that. Worry about your trusting in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him right here, right now. And God promises you. He promises you to save you. All right, that's it.